5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Last night, John and I watched the 1981 film Raiders of the Lost Ark. John and I have discussed it before, but we talked about it again, how when I was a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist. I don't know if it was from the Indiana Jones movies or where it started, but that was what I wanted to do when I grew up. I also think I was influenced by Jurassic Park because I didn't care so much about ancient civilizations. I wanted to dig up dinosaur bones. So I found today's story, Obelisks and the Obelisk Family, from the book Cleopatra's Needle, written by Reverend James King. As I wrap this up, I'm going to apologize because I probably slaughtered most of the names of the pharaohs, names, and cities. So please don't quote me on names if you're trying to figure out how to say a name, because I probably said it wrong. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Obelisks and the Obelisk Family. An obelisk is a single upright stone with four sides slightly inclined towards each other. It generally stands upon a square base or pedestal, also a single stone. The pedestal itself is often supported upon two broad, deep steps. The top of the obelisk resembles a small pyramid called a pyramidion, the sides of which are generally inclined at an angle of 60 degrees. The obelisks of the pharaohs are made of red granite called sienite. In the quarries of Sien may yet be seen an unfinished obelisk still adhering to the native rock, with traces of the workman's tools so clearly seen on its surface that one might suppose they had been suddenly called away and intended soon to return to finish their work. This unfinished obelisk shows the mode in which the ancients separated those immense monoliths from the native rock. In a sharply cut groove marking the boundary of the stone are holes, evidently designed for wooden wedges. After these had been firmly driven into the holes, the groove was filled with water. The wedges, gradually absorbing the water, swelled and cracked the granite throughout the length of the groove. The block, once detached from the rock, was pushed forwards upon rollers made of the stems of palm trees, from the quarries to the edge of the Nile, where it was surrounded by a large timber raft. It lay by the riverside until the next inundation of the Nile, when the rising waters floated the raft and conveyed the obelisk down the stream to the city where it was to be set up. Thousands of willing hands pushed it on rollers up an inclined plane to the front of the temple, where it was designed to stand. The pedestal had previously been placed in position, and a firm causeway of sand covered with planks led to the top of it. Then, by means of rollers, levers, and ropes made of the date palm, the obelisk was gradually hoisted into an upright position. It speaks much for the mechanical accuracy of the Egyptian masons that so true was the level of the top of the base and the bottom of the long shaft that in no single instance has the obelisk been found to be out of the true perpendicular. There has not yet been found on the base reliefs or paintings any representation of the transport of an obelisk, although there is sufficient external evidence to prove that the foregoing mode was the usual one. In a grotto at El Berchet, however, is a well-known representation of the transportation of a colossal figure from the quarries. The colossus is mounted on a huge sledge, and as a man is represented pouring oil in front of the sledge, it would appear that on the road prepared for its transport, there was a sliding groove along which the Colossus was propelled. Four long rows of men, urged on in their work by taskmasters, are dragging the figure by means of ropes. The sienite granite was very hard and capable of taking a high polish. The carving is very beautifully executed, and the hieroglyphs rise from a sunken surface in a style known as in cavo relievo. In this mode of carving, the figures never project beyond the surface of the stone, and consequently are not so liable to be chipped off as they would have been had they projected in high relief. The hieroglyphs are always arranged on the obelisks with great taste in long vertical columns, and these were always carved after the obelisk was placed in its permanent position. The hewing, transport, hoisting, and carving of such a monolith was a gigantic undertaking, and we are not therefore surprised to learn that the giant of the obelisk race, now in front of St. John Lateran in Rome, occupied the workmen 36 years in its elaboration. The chief obelisks known, taking them in chronological order, are as follows. Three were erected by Eustertesen I, a monarch of the 12th dynasty, who lived about 1750 BC. He is thought by some to be the pharaoh that promoted Joseph. Of these three obelisks, one still stands, Heliopolis, in its original position, and from its great age it has been called the father of obelisks. It is 67.5 feet tall, and is therefore about a foot shorter than the London obelisk. Its companion is missing, and probably lies buried amid the ruins of the sacred city. The third is at Begig, in the Fayum, and unfortunately is broken into two parts. Its shape is peculiar, and on the account Bunami and others say that it cannot with propriety be classed among the obelisks. After the 12th dynasty, Egypt was ruled for many centuries by monarchs of Asiatic origin called the Hyksos, or shepherd kings. During the rule of those foreigners, it does not appear that any obelisks were erected. Thothmes I of the 18th dynasty erected two in front of the Osiris temple at Karnak. One of these is still standing, the other lies buried by its side. Hatasu, daughter of Thothmes I and queen of Egypt, erected two obelisks inside the Osiris temple of Karnak in honor of her father. One, still standing, is about 100 feet high, and is the second highest obelisk in the world. Its companion has fallen to the ground. According to Mariette Bey, Hatasu erected two other obelisks in front of her own temple on the western bank of the Nile. These, however, have been destroyed, although the pedestals still remain. Thothmes III, the greatest of Egyptian monarchs and brother of Hatasu, erected four obelisks at Heliopolis, and probably others in different parts of Egypt. These four have been named the Needles, two of them Pharaoh's Needles and two Cleopatra's Needles. The former pair were removed from Heliopolis to Alexandria by Constantine the Great. Thence one was taken, according to some Egyptologist, to Constantinople, where it now stands at the Etmedion. It is only 50 feet high, but it is thought that the lower part has been broken off and that the part remaining is only the upper half of the original obelisk. The other was conveyed to Rome and now stands in front of the church of St. John Lateran, and from its great magnitude it is regarded as the giant of the obelisk family. Amenophis II of the 18th dynasty set up a small obelisk of sienite granite about 9 feet high. It was found amid the ruins of a village of the Thebaid and presented to the late Duke of Northumberland, then Lord Prudhoe. Amenophis III of the 18th dynasty erected two obelisks in front of his temple at Karnak, but the temple is in ruins and the obelisks have entirely disappeared. Seti I set up two. One, known as the Flaminian Obelisk, now stands at the Porta del Popolo in Rome, and the other at Trinità dei Monti in the same city. Ramses II was, next to Thothmes III, the mightiest king of Egypt, and in the erection of obelisks, he surpassed all other monarchs. He set up two obelisks before the Temple of Luxor. One is still standing, but the other was transported to Paris about 40 years ago. The latter is 76 feet high and 7.5 feet higher than the London one. Two obelisks bearing the name of Ramesses II are at Rome, one in front of the Pantheon, the other on the Salian Hill. 10 obelisks, the work of the same monarch, lie buried at Tanis, the ancient Zoan. Menephta, son and successor of Ramses, set up the obelisk which now stands in front of St. Peter's in Rome. It is about 90 feet high, and as regards magnitude, is the third obelisk in the world. Psammeticus I of the 26th dynasty set up an obelisk at Heliopolis in the year 665 BC. It now stands at Rome on the Monte Sittorio. Psammeticus II, about the same time that Solomon's temple was destroyed, erected an obelisk which now stands at Rome on the back of an elephant. Nectanebo I made two small obelisks of black basalt. They are now in the British Museum and, according to Dr. Birch, were dedicated to Thoth, the Egyptian god of letters. They were found at Cairo, built into the walls of some houses. One was used as a door sill and the other as a window sill. They came into possession of the English when the French in Egypt capitulated to the British and were presented to the British Museum by King George III in 1801. They are only 8 feet high. Nectanebo II of the 30th dynasty, who lived about 4 centuries before the Christian era, set up 2 obelisks. 100 years afterwards, they were placed by Ptolemy Philadelphus in front of the tomb of his wife Arsinoe. They were taken to Rome and set up before the mausoleum of Augustus, where they still stood till the destruction of the city in 450 AD. They lay buried amid the debris of Rome for many hundreds of years, but about a century ago, they were dug out. One now stands behind the Church of St. Maria Maggiore, the other in the Piazza Quirinale. Each is about 50 feet high. 2 large obelisks were transported from Egypt to Nineveh in 664 BC by Assurbanipal. These 2 monoliths probably lie buried amid the ruins of that ancient city. The above included the chief obelisks erected by the pharaohs, but several others were erected by the Roman emperors. Domitian set up one 34 foot high, which now stands on the Piazza Navona in front of the Church of St. Agnes. Domitian and Titus erected a small obelisk of red granite 9 feet high, which now stands in the Cathedral Square of Benevento. Hadrian and Sabina set up 2 obelisks, one of which, 30 feet high, now stands at Monte Pincio. An obelisk 20 feet high of Sienite granite was brought by Mr. Banks from Philae to England and now stands in front of Kingston Lacy Hall in Wimborne. Among obelisks of obscure origin is one of the sandstone 9 feet high at Alnwick, 2 in the town of Florence, and 1 60 feet high in the city of Arles, made of gray granite from the neighboring quarries of Mont Estrel. The total number of existing obelisks is 55. Of these, 33 are standing, and 22 lie prostrate on the ground or are buried amid rubbish. Of those standing, 27 are made of Sienite granite.